Locked On Suns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's I'm your host, Evan Setter, and joined by a very special guest today's show to recap the Suns' latest victory inside the Orlando bubble. They're now, incredibly enough, Brandon, 4-0. As you guys know, Brandon from AZ Sports Zone on Twitter. Brandon, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Really excited to talk about this one. And, you know, what we're watching right now is just, like, pretty unreal. So let's get right into it.
Yeah, let's dive into our usual game format here. We're going to skip over the flagrant fouls again because there's really no need to parse over any negatives in this one where we see the Suns really always stop these Pacers runs they had. In this first quarter, the Suns got to a big lead. The Pacers fought back. Then eventually in the end there, the Suns, incredibly enough, their second unit, Brandon, 21-0 run into the third and extending into the early fourth quarter before Devin Booker and Ricky Rubio and DeAndre and chip back into this game. Let's start off with that bench unit for a second. And first off, I think my first free throw for this game is going to be, surprisingly enough, Cam Payne. 15 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Only 2 turnovers as well to go 3 assists. He has 6-9 from the field, 3-5 from 3 in 22 minutes. Cam Payne is sort of becoming this team's spark plug, Brandon, where I wonder where this team would have been if Cam Payne was playing like this inside the bubble and he was on this roster all year long, because he's exactly what this team needs for the second unit as far as getting his own shot, finding his own bucket, and being able to set guys up too. Pretty incredible what Cam Payne's doing for his NBA career right now.
Yeah, definitely. He's been their savior. Because their bench, I don't know where their bench would be right now without him. When he comes in the game, the pace doesn't change. And that's something they've been lacking for a long time. And he just creates his own, like, offense. You know, like, Javon Carter, as great as he is defensively and, like, with the energy and all that, he can't really run the team like Payne does. So, you know, at the time of the signing, I remember a lot of people on, you know, Twitter, like NBA and Suns fans alike, were just kind of questioning the signing. Right now it's looking like an absolute steal. And he's been, honestly, the reason they've won 2 of their games so far, just the spark plug, hitting deep threes, turning into Steph Curry there in the third quarter. I mean, it was just really fun to watch.
Have the Suns kind of found something, Brandon, with Cam Payne? Of course, I know it's a small sample size of 4 games, and if you include the scrimmage games too, where Payne did pretty well for himself too. 7 total games, 4 that actually matter so far. Payne has a $2 million team option for next year. I imagine it will get exercised at this point because Payne really is playing himself into that kind of contract. $2 million is nothing. It's chump change for what the Suns can spend elsewhere. Is it fair to say that Payne might have a shot of being the Suns' backup point guard all next year too? I know there's a draft of free agency to come here, but I feel like Cam Payne is a really good fit here.
Yeah, and if you asked me that same question a week ago, I would have said no. That's just how fast this bubble's moving, and you know he's proven himself to be worth bringing on for a roster spot as like a third guard at the very least. Like I can't see why they want it. I think there's a pretty good chance they're going to bring him back next season.
Let's move on to DeAndre Ayton, who had a huge bounce back game and won on both ends of the court because he had 23 points, 10 rebounds, 2 steals, and 4 blocks, a bubble high so far for DeAndre Ayton. He's 11-18 from the field as well. Very efficient game from Ayton, where he kind of – I mentioned this to Tony East of Locked On Pacers on our show yesterday previewing this game. I thought Ayton had to have a really solid matchup against Miles Turner, sort of take it to him a little bit. Turner had his moments getting a couple of blocks on Ayton around the rim, but a matchup where Ayton kind of dominated throughout this game, where Turner's size – was not able to match up with Ayton's strength. And that jumper was going for Ayton too once more. What did you think about Ayton's game where on a game where Booker was struggling with foul trouble again? He had 4 fouls over a 5-minute span in the third quarter. He had 5 fouls in this game. Ayton only had 1. A game where without DeAndre Ayton, the Suns do not win this game.
Yeah, he was really impressive. I think this is his best game, like all around on both sides of the ball in the bubble at this point. And it came at a crucial time, as you mentioned, because Miles Turner has been playing some really good basketball. I think he's probably one of the most underrated bigs in the NBA. And for Ayton to have the game he did against him was really impressive. And there were a couple times early on he let Brogdon beat him on drives and in the first half. And then the second half, just seeing him make that huge play to block him and then Booker rewarding him during that sequence and finishing was just – a breath of fresh air. Like he's just gotten so good at making adjustments from the first half to the second half. Like, you know, that's something you would not see his rookie season. And I just think all around just defensively, he looked a lot more engaged. There's a couple of plays here and there, if you want to nitpick, where, you know, he lost his focus, but for the most part, I was really impressed. And like you said, they're not going to win this game without his performance.
Looking at this game, again, like you mentioned, it's Indiana. Who knows if Sabonis plays how it fares? Because I think Sabonis is a better big for the Pacers. He's, of course, out with plantar fasciitis. He's in L.A. rehabbing right now. So definitely was a misprint for the Pacers today, but Ayton took full advantage of that, going against Miles Turner, Jakarr Sampson, super small ball center for the Suns, and Goga Batadze. He really did have his way against all three of those guys. But what do you think about Ayton defensively today, Brandon, where it felt like the first game where I know he had some moments here and there, some flashes against the Wizards, some flashes against the Mavericks, but really the first game, and especially in the second half there, I think Ayton had three of his four blocks in the second half around the rim on Malcolm Brogdon. I think one on Victor Oladipo too, where he really is, when guards try to mismatch him, going try to get past him with his speed a little bit. I think people are starting to realize more and more on the NBA that Ayton has that guard wing-like speed, and you really can't try to dribble drive past him, because more often than not in the second half when you saw Brogdon and Oladipo try to do it, end up with a stuff at the rim.
Yeah, no, this was definitely his best defensive performance, like from start to finish, I would say. Like, he had a couple steals and a block in the first half, and then, like you said, the three blocks in the second half. So he's just, you know, anytime you get, you know, six stocks like in one game, that means you're active and doing the right things. So I think as long as he can just keep himself engaged and focused, he has the ability, he has the athletic tools, he's coachable. So I think this is just like the tip of the iceberg with him. He's only going to get better. It's just going to come down to him getting the consistency down and just really staying focused throughout the entire course of the game.
Yeah, definitely agree with you on Ayton, where on a game where Booker, like you mentioned, struggled with foul trouble a little bit, others on the bench really struggled outside of Campaign and Dario Saric, a game where Ayton had to step up, and he definitely did in this one. 23, 10, 2, and 4 in 35 minutes, a solid performance for the big fellow there. But let's move on to another positive from this game. Devin Booker, who we have not mentioned just yet, 20 points, 10 assists, a bubble high so far for him, adding on to 8 assists from the last game against the Clippers. 6-12 from the field, 2-7 from the free throw line. A very efficient game once more for Booker, where it seemed like his playmaking ability, I want to start with that first, Brandon, where it seems like maybe in the bubble or maybe during the quarantine period without NBA basketball, is it just me or is Booker even better now at playmaking? Because we knew he was so underrated at that aspect here, but the last two or three games he's put on an absolute clinic in that category.
Yeah, he's just really patient. Like, that's one of the biggest areas he's really grown at. He's not forcing, like, his shot. You know, he knows he can trust his teammates, and you know, just I think Ricky Rubio has a lot to do with that, just having that stabilizer next to him in the backcourt, just to kind of calm him down a little bit. Because, you know, we've seen in the past he can at times get a little bit reckless and just force things that aren't there. We haven't really seen that much from him at all this season, really. And just whenever he's playing like that, just poised, just calm basketball, it's really fun to watch. And I think it just makes the team better. And, you know, he probably could have had a few more assists today too with, you know, they weren't. Like, I think the biggest takeaway from this is they shot 9 for 34 from three and they still won. Like, that's, you know, that's saying something about their defense that just kept them in this game and just, you know, playing team basketball. It was just a complete win. So, yeah, I think his playmaking has definitely elevated the offense to another level.
Let me ask you, too, about his free throw attempt. 7-7 from the free throw line today. There's been some inconsistencies with the refs so far in the bubble for the Suns, but especially the Dallas game, the Clippers game, too. I had a couple calls here and there. But really, throughout that, he's still gotten to the free throw line very often here. I think he's risen his free throw attempts per game during this Orlando stretch. 7 today, of course. What do you think of Booker being really aggressive, getting to the free throw line and really putting his head down on drives and making teams go at him more and more around the rim? Because I think Booker is slowly but surely realizing that he can get those calls and that really anyone right now in this bubble can guard him.
Yeah, once he puts his head down and he has a step on you, it's pretty much over. He's such a good finisher too that he'll finish stuff like through contact that most people wouldn't even attempt. Like, it's pretty ridiculous. And so I just think as long as he's aggressive but smart, because obviously you mentioned the foul trouble, like that was, well, it was insane. The 4 fouls in 5 minutes or whatever it was, but just being aggressive but smart at the same time, just having that balance is important. But yeah, he can, when he attacks, he can pretty much get whatever he wants on the court. So I like it when he plays aggressive like that.
What do you think so far, Brandon, of Booker in the bubble, where if he's not scoring much, he's definitely helping playmaking. He's been a huge positive in the plus minus category so far through the ball. I think he's been positive pretty much by a huge margin throughout every game. Cam Johnson, of course, we'll hit on in a few minutes, was the leader in plus minus too, with an insane plus 36. But what do you think of Booker so far in the bubble, where he really is becoming an all-around player and really maybe before our eyes taking that leap from star to superstar?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to him realizing like who he is and like what his identity is. Like, he knows teams are going to come after him. He knows that you know, there, it's not always going to be about him like the entire game. He's going to have to get his teammates involved. And it's just like he's playing for the 48 minutes instead of just, you know, taking it like he's just taking it one possession at a time instead of just like forcing stuff. So I think, you know, just he's matured a lot within the last year. And I think that's a big reason, you know, he made the All-Star team. I mean, he was a replacement, obviously, but I still think he was snubbed and deserved it. And the major factor is just how patient he plays and just really understanding the game and just how to use his gravity and just, you know, the defensive attention he gets to create for others. And just that's why the Suns led the NBA in assists this season. So, I mean, it's been a pleasure to watch. And I'm really excited because he's only 23. So, I mean, he's only going to get better at the little things like that as he ages. So really looking forward to his progression.
Suns fans, do you want to save money in your car right now? During this Orlando bubble experience, the Suns are red hot and rockauto.com is too. With the ever-increased numbers and makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts your car will need in a traditional chain store front. So why endure pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning when you can get it for much cheaper and at a convenience of your own home at rockauto.com? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics do yourself, but at Rock Auto, the prices are the same or reliably low all the time. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They're everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is always unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specification, and price you prefer. And best of all, prices at RockAuto are always reliably low. So why spend twice as much for the same parts you can get even cheaper at rockauto.com? Go to rockauto.com right now and see the parts available for your car or truck, right locked on, in their How'd Your Boss box so they know we sent you. They have a made selection of reliably low prices and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Once more, right locked on, in their How'd Your Boss box so they know that we sent you. Again, locked on, LOCKEDON, in their How'd Your Boss box so they know locked on Sun sent you right over.
Yeah, Booker has not turned 24 until late October. So when he's 27, 28, I can't imagine what he's going to be like if he's already at this level at age 23. But let's hit on our next positive of our game here, Brandon, and one where I love the nickname you came up with him. I don't know if you did it exactly, but that you're the person I found it with. But Mikael Warden-Bridges, his defense in this one, incredible again. TJ Warren was put into jail by Mikael. I mentioned this, of course, yesterday in my preview of Tony East of Locked On Pacers 2, that if Mikael was able to stymie TJ Warren, I think the Suns were going to get a victory in this one. That's, of course, what happened because TJ Warren, where Mikael was his primary assignment, was 7-20. He had 16 points. Whenever you have more points than you do shot attempts, I think that goes to show you just the way that defensively you're just so inefficient that you were put in a bind a little bit. Mikael has continuously done that, Brandon, whether it be Luka Doncic on his possession to guard him, Kawhi Leonard was 2-8 against him. And we'll, of course, see the individual numbers probably later tonight or tomorrow morning when NBA Stats updates it. But TJ Warren did not have a great night against Mikael Bridges. So what was your impression of Mikael in this game where he had 10 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal? But his one-on-one defense, he's looking more and more like one of the better wing defenders in the NBA already.
Yeah, so I can't take credit for the Warden nickname, but I think it was Andrew Lezis that actually came up with it. So I've just seen it around on Twitter, so I had to throw it out there. But just getting to his defense, just, you know, containing Warren, like you said, was the key to this game. Like, it's pretty much the matchup everyone was looking at and circling. And Mikael did a great job just making him uncomfortable. And he's been doing it all bubble. It's not really a surprise for Suns fans at this point, and most NBA fans that have been paying attention know it. You know, his arms just never end. Like, there's a couple drives where Warren just put his head down. Like, you know, he was playing more physical and just getting where he wanted to, but it didn't matter because Mikael just would extend the arms and just get a piece of it or, you know, contest it to just make him miss. And, you know, this looking at Warren's stat line, you know, 7-20, just he looked like he was really forcing things at times and just uncomfortable all around. Like, he just looked like a different player from what he was in those first three games. So a lot of credit to Mikael. And also, I'm sure we'll touch on him later as well, but Cam Johnson did a great job in that regard as well.
Yeah, let's hit on Cam since you brought him up because an incredible game for Cam Johnson. I think an underrated one too. 14 points, 12 rebounds, another high rebound game too for Cam Johnson, maybe showing more and more he could last as your small ball four moving forward here. 3 assists, 1 steal. I love that pickpocket play on Malcolm Brogdon in the third quarter. Really helps swing the momentum a little bit for the Suns team when the Pacers are kind of fighting back a little bit. But Cam Johnson, what can you say about him at this point, Brandon, where he's just so smart. Whether if his offense isn't going, he's giving you some good
smart reads as a playmaker. He's a good rebounder, a lot better than I expected, too, and his defense, too, is a way better than I expected to come out of North Carolina at this point of his career. Played 36 minutes, which led the team for the Suns tonight. Plus 36, though, which really goes to show you in the plus-minus category that when he's on the court, the Suns are pretty much dominating this Pacers team by a huge margin. So what was your impressions of Cam Johnson tonight, where he really was kind of that swing piece for this Suns team?
Yeah, for him to be that impactful, shooting 2 of 9 from three is insane. Like, I mean, as a rookie, everyone just thought this guy's just going to be a shooter. And he's shown to be, like, so much more than that. You know, the rebounding is – it's not even just about positioning. It's just he's putting himself in the right spots and he's hustling. You know, he makes winning plays. And that's, you know, that's kind of similar to what Mikal Bridges does. And I think that's why they're clicking so well when they're playing together. They're just both, like, super high IQ players. And they know – they make the plays that win games at the end of the day. Even if they don't show up on the box score, like – there's a few like hockey assists I saw Cam had, and just, you know, moving the ball well and knowing when, you know, he needs to shoot and, you know, where to relocate off ball, just stuff like that, that, you know, maybe like the average fan doesn't see, but he's just really been impressive. And, it's going to be tough to move him out of the starting lineup. I'll just say that right now. Like you know, the whole talk before this bubble was about Mikal, Kelly, Ayton, Rubio, Booker. I think Cam has done his much as he can to solidify him as the starting power forward on this team.
I don't want to get too far ahead of myself and get off topic a little bit, Brandon, but since you mentioned with Cam and Mikal, I think there's such a good yin and yang as far as Cam being a lights out shooter. Mikal, of course, can be too at some points, but he's a lockdown defender. Cam and Mikal kind of do it all. They're low usage players, high IQ players, don't make much mistakes at all. I keep thinking back to Kelly Oubre, and I'm wondering to myself, if Kelly does buy in next year into a six-man role, why can't he be the wing version of a Lou Williams type, where he could be a consistent six man of the year candidate threat? But that's long term down the road there. But I think I'm right there with you, Brandon, as far as for me, if I was in Monty Williams' position heading into next year and throughout the rest of this bubble, I don't know how you change out your 3-4 with Cam and Mikal long term, because those guys just fit so well together.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting discussion that it's a good problem to have. But at the same time, you know, Kelly is going to hit free agency next season, so they're going to have to act pretty quick on, you know, what they're going to do, what direction they're going to go. But if he does buy in a six-man role, I'd be all for that. He's still going to find a way to play 30 minutes a night. And on nights if, you know, Cam's not playing well or Mikal's off, you know, you can send Oubre out to close it out. So it's not like he's going to be, you know, riding the bench, like, if he comes off, like, as a six-man. So I just think at this point, you need Cam in the starting lineup with eight, and it just helps with the floor spacing so much. And, you know, his defense is so much better than I expected, or I would say most people expected. So, you know, it just works. Like, this lineup, I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't mess with it. You know, even if Oubre does come back for one of these last four games, like, I highly doubt he's going to be getting significant minutes anyway. So could be a nice little test run, I would say, if Oubre does decide to return. But yeah, I would love him off the bench if he fully bought into it, because they're going to need some help.
I had a chance to ask Devin Booker post game about just the spacing and his playmaking ability too. Of course, he had 10 assists today, but you realize too with the Suns team that the floor is so much more space when you have Cam in one corner, Mikal in the other corner, DeAndre rolling to the rim too. And I was kind of just a pick your poison type of thing that Booker mentioned post game, where if you go close out on Cam and Mikal, you're going to have DeAndre in wide open rolling down on the rim for a lob or a easy lay-in. If you go at eight, and you're going to leave one of Cam and Mikal wide open for an easy three. And those guys are plus 40% from the corners so far this year for the Suns, just really bodes well for them long-term from a space perspective. And if you really tie on all those three guys, Cam, Mikal, and DeAndre, you're leaving Devin Booker one-on-one, which is always a mismatch for the defense there. So I love what this foursome does for the Suns team. I think long-term it makes so much sense to keep these guys together. And a game where Cam Johnson is plus 36, it really is incredible the kind of impact he's making outside the box score there. But let's talk about one more positive in this one before we dive into some stats that I want to go over and also look ahead to maybe another few games for the Phoenix Suns. We're close to today's show with Brandon. But Dario Saric, I think he is a player I've mentioned every single show so far throughout this bubble. 16 points, 8 rebounds, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, a 4-9 shooting too. Very aggressive around the rim. He's continuing to be aggressive off this bench too. Dario and Cam were the reason why the Suns won this game today. We hit on the show talking about campaign and him being such a swing piece for them off this bench. But Dario,
I'm so in on him being on this team next year. I don't know about you, Brandon, but I think he's found a long-term home, whether it's Phoenix or elsewhere, as like a super sixth or seventh man, because in 20 minutes, having that kind of impact, 16 points, 8 rebounds, taking 4 trips to the free throw line, it's showing the impact that Dario has on this team in the second unit, and he's really buying into that, I think.
Yeah, he's definitely bought in, and you can just see, like, his impact has been so awesome. Just, you know, embracing playing the small ball five. He's guarding guys much bigger than him, stronger than him, but he's not backing down. You know, playing, you know, solid defense, you know, hit a couple big shots in this game, and just getting the line, just playing aggressive, putting smaller defenders on his back, keeping the ball moving. So I just really like what I've seen from him in this entire bubble. And obviously he's a pending free agent, so he's got something to play for. I would love to bring him back on like a, you know, 1 or 2 year deal, just, you know, nothing too crazy, but just lock him up to help improve the bench. And, you know, because if you have him and Kelly coming off the bench next year, then, you know, that's automatically just a massive upgrade from what they had entering this year. But the tricky part is getting both of them to buy into those roles. So that's just kind of a different question for another day.
Yeah. Dario continues to be one of the more bigger impressions, at least to me, because he was a player who I think everyone thought was on his way out of Phoenix before this bubble happened. But I think he's bought in. As far as he knows, his sort of Phoenix career is on the line here during this bubble period. He knows that whether it's in Phoenix or elsewhere, he has to prove a point to NBA teams that he is a legitimate starting four in this league, or maybe a super six man. And Dario is definitely doing that. They can get him back on his restricted tag next year of $5.1 million, Brandon. I'm all aboard that, because him with Aaron Baines, maybe you have Kelly Oubre or Cam Johnson off your bench, Cam Payne or a rookie you draft in the lottery. I think this has the makings of being a really much revamped bench if Monty Williams keeps us up and really makes a few tweaks here and there. But let's dive into some stats to watch for a second, because once again, even though the Suns were 9 of 34 from 3, like you mentioned earlier in the show, Brandon, 26% from the field and from the deep range, they were 58% on twos, which really goes to show you just how effective they were around the rim. Ayton had a good game. Mikhail and Cam knew how to cut to the rim. Devin Booker, of course, was a mid-range wizard once again. And then Dario being aggressive around the rim here too. What is it going to show you, Brandon, where they're so effective, even on a night where we knew that it was eventually going to regress as far as three-point shooting goes? It was unsustainable being plus 40% from three for three straight games. It fell back down to earth in a big way, 26.5%. But being able to really counteract that with being great around the rim, that spoke volumes to me against a really great, fundamentally sound defense like Indiana.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to just the ball movement and the willingness to share with each other, and not only just moving the ball, but like, you know, when they're off ball, just making the right cuts, just, and that's always going to open up efficient shots. So I'm not too like super surprised by that, but you know, it's just whenever they're moving the ball like that, it's going to be tough to stop them offensively. And I really thought their defense was a huge part of that as well. Just kind of like they controlled the pace of the game for the most part. Like Indiana went on a couple of runs and, here and there, but you know, their defense just really impressed me, and the ability to balance that, you know, with the efficient offense, even with the off shooting, really goes to show that, you know, this team could beat anyone on any given night, because they're shooting, you know, 26% from three, and they can, you know, beat a team by 15, especially a team that's, you know, been as impressive as Indiana has. Then that just says a lot about like, where the state of this team is. And like, I think at this point, you know, this was the kind of the game for me where I was going to gauge whether or not they're for real, because, you know, Indiana doesn't, while they're an excellent team as a whole, they don't really have like the Paul George or the Kawhi or the Luka for these young guys to get up for. And in the past, this young team has kind of, you know, not like arrived for games like that. So it's really encouraging to see them locked in and accept the challenge, knowing this is just going to be a gritty battle.
One more stat I want to go over here before we dive into looking ahead to the Suns team and really going over their bubble experience so far, which has been incredible for the Suns team, being able to really galvanize this group and maybe have some huge momentum moving forward here into the 2020-2021 season. Or if they get into this play-in tournament, all bets are off and the Suns are one of the more dangerous teams right now in Orlando. But like you mentioned, the playmaking, they had 27 assists today, that to 15 turnovers, that's an okay amount as far as assist turnover ratio goes. But I wanted to hit on the rebounds for a second, because out-rebounding the Pacers by 15, who were very much the bigger team today, 53 rebounds to 38, and of course, 12 offensive rebounds. Cam had 3, DeAndre had 3, Dario had 4.
aggressiveness on the boards, I know it's an underrated factor, Brandon, but against a team like Indiana where you have Miles Turner, you have these guys who are very aggressive around the rim too, like Oladipo and Brogdon are great rebounders for their size too, guards and wings. That spoke volumes to me in this one, because if you're so aggressive on the boards and get these extra possessions, 12 of them, it really helped the Suns kind of swing things back in their favor.
Yeah, I think that's just comes down to just wanting it more. Like a lot of 50-50 balls they secured, you know, they were just all over the place. And just playing sound defense, you know, whenever you're playing good team defense, most of the time you're going to out-rebound the other team. So that was definitely a factor as well. But, yeah, like I said, Cam Johnson just – he really stood out on so many – I need to rewatch this game, but there were so many different plays where he just doing the little things that were just winning plays that I was like, you know, we'll look back on this swing and it's going to be a reason they won this game if they pull it off. So, you know, just the collective mindset and just the will to win I think really stood out and on the rebounding side of things. So definitely an encouraging takeaway, especially because Indiana's a good rebounding team as well.
Last few I had for you, Brandon. Appreciate the time as always, man. I wanted to hit really quickly on just the Suns so far in the bubble. Who would have expected 4-0? I mean, they were counted out by everyone, and counted out really by everyone in the Suns community too, I imagine, because who would have thought the Suns would really be in a chance halfway through to be 8-0, to go against teams like the Clippers, the Mavericks, the Pacers, and beat them, and beat Indiana today pretty impressively at 15 points and hold off rally after rally after having two huge runs they made, 17-0 run in the first quarter, 21-0 extended run to the late third, early fourth quarter. What's just your impression of this team so far, Brandon? Because I'm still in shock just the way this team is playing right now.
Yeah, no, I knew they'd be 4-0 at this point. I'm honestly shocked. I mean, I was cautiously optimistic entering this whole thing. You know, I was like 4 or 5 wins, you know, would be like really nice. I was probably expecting them to go 3-5, 4-4. This is a tough schedule. Like that's the thing you have to realize. Like these are the best 22 teams in the league. Obviously the Wizards, that was a nice break in the schedule for them early on, but you know, beating Dallas, beating, you know, the Clippers and now Indiana, it's just, they're all different types of teams too. Like I think that's the most impressive part about it. And like the Clippers game is like the one that still just stands out to me the most because, you know, like they really wanted to win that game. Like Kawhi and Paul George turned it up a level. Like they weren't just a team that was out there just kind of coasting into the playoffs. Like we've already made it. Like, no, they like took on the challenge and Kawhi wanted to win that game. And the fact that they pulled that one out is just incredible to me. And like, just, you know, it seems like we're living in a dream right now, honestly, like just this 4-0 start. So hopefully they can keep it rolling. You know, schedule is going to get like, obviously it's not going to like slow down. So they just got to keep this level of focus and intensity, and they have to be nearly perfect to pull off this improbable miracle. But, you know, crazier things have happened.
Yeah, the Suns' next four games, they play Saturday against the Miami Heat, Monday against the Oklahoma City Thunder, Tuesday in a back-to-back against the Philadelphia 76ers, and Thursday to close their bubble regular season stretch out against the Dallas Mavericks. But this has been so fun. I mean, looking at these first four games, these next four are going to be oh so important for the Suns team. But before I let you go, Brandon, what's been your impression of Monty Williams so far? Because I think that's my biggest takeaway, is that he has completely had this roster bought in at this point. We knew it kind of late in the year before the NBA season went on pause there that this roster really was joined Monty Williams and his coaching staff. But you have to give kudos to Monty where you can, Brandon, because this team on both ends is firing on all cylinders. And this roster, and especially Devin Booker, you can tell, they love their coach.
Yeah, I think that's a huge factor towards their success as well, obviously. Like the offense he's designed, you know, I think he's really adapted his overall schemes and his playbook just because, you know, the stuff he's running now is not the same stuff he was running back when he was coaching New Orleans. So I think, you know, he's adapted. And not only that, like Monty's always had the respect of players. That's never been an issue with him. You know, everyone's going to run through a wall for him. But just the actual X's and O's and just I thought like the rotations have just been on point and like just knowing like when to call a timeout and when not to. You know, he's just been just little things like that. It just seems like everything's like clicking right now for him. So I'm happy for him. He's an awesome dude. And, you know, I think they finally found their long-term coach. And, you know, I think the stability is going to do a lot for them in their development going forward.
Brandon, appreciate the time as always. You guys can go follow Brandon on Twitter if you have not already, at AZ Sports Zone. Brandon, appreciate the time. As I imagine, I'll have you back on here in another week or two as this Suns team is the talk of the NBA bubble. So appreciate the time, man.
Sounds good. Thanks again, Travis.